You turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 91. We're not doing a hymn study today, and I haven't quite sorted out which topic or passage we're going to dig into next for Sunday school. But as I was preparing this week, I was reading in Psalm 91 and verse 1. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place. This is an interesting phrasing. And what we're going to be focusing on today is actually the phrase Most High, but before we get to that, we kind of need to touch on what this secret place is, because it's a weird phrasing. When you think about it, you try and describe what is that secret place of the Most High. What is it that, what could that be describing to us, the secret place of the Most High? Is this some area of heaven that no one can see? Well, we all know that we can't see heaven anyway. We can't behold it with these eyes. So it's very unusual framing to call it the secret place of the Most High. So this isn't referring to heaven in general. Rather, it is, I think, describing to us that innermost part of God. It would be like saying, he who dwells in the heart of God, he who hides himself and continues, because that word dwelleth means to abide or to rest. It means to sit in. So he that dwelleth in the secret place, that is, in God's affections and in his heart, if you are dwelling there, then you abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We can't approach God and find a secret mystery place or anything like that. But what we can do is find our way into God's heart. We can be close to Him. And if we are standing under His protection, if we are standing close to Him and abiding there, dwelling there, making our habitation there, then we are under the shadow of the Almighty. We are under His protective wings. Later in verse 9, it makes that even more clear. It says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thine habitation. He protects us. He shelters us if we come into that secret place and we dwell there, we stay there. Not casual visitors, but people who set up house there. We make that our everyday existence. So now that we have a basic idea of the secret place, I then want us to focus on this phrase, of the Most High. And this is where we're going to spend the rest of this morning. We're going to look at a few different verses. This is actually one of the more common names for God, especially in the Old Testament. Over and over and over again, He is called the Most High. He is called the Most High. It is an interesting name. Why would God be called the Most High? What's some reasons why you might call the Most High? Or, greatly exalted. Anyone. I thought I saw a hand, but it wasn't. Someone was just moving. Yes. Because He is a ruler. So He sits up high. Yep, we'll get to some of that very shortly. Any other thoughts on why God is described as being high, the Most High? Yes. There's none higher. Yes, and that's really where I want to go with this. There is none higher. I don't recommend spending a lot of time looking at comics, but there is a problem that is called the comics problem, which is each new issue, their heroes get stronger and stronger. And so they have to face more and more difficult enemies. And eventually they end up in such a place where it's too too much. It's beyond everything. And so they end up naming their villains or their heroes the one above all, or the greatest of everything kind of thing. They end up with names like that because eventually you reach something that is too much, that is way beyond anything we can even imagine. And here God is being described as the Most High. He is beyond what we can even imagine in power, strength, authority, in all the areas of who He is. He is above all. God is the Most High. This is who He is. God is not just, in charge. He's not just a creator. Because we might be able to imagine that God created, but He was not in charge of everything. He just had the ability to create stuff. But no, God is the Most High. He is in authority over all. He is more powerful than we can imagine. Not just because He can create things out of nothing, but because He is outside of time. Because He is all-powerful. Because He is all-knowing. If there were multi-universes, which is not, as far as we can tell, is not true. If there were, God supersedes all of those too. This is not that God is bound by anything we can even imagine. He is above everything. He is outside of all of it. He is the Most High. This is important for us to realize because we cannot praise God enough. He is Most High. That means if you said, God, you're great for doing this, you are not at all over-exaggerating it. In fact, you're under-exaggerating how wonderful He has been, how high and lifted up He is. We're going to go now to the book of Genesis chapter 14. And this is not the first mention, but I think it's a pivotal mention about the Most High. Genesis chapter 14, and we all have heard the story of Abraham fighting off the kings and how he then came to the king of Jerusalem, Melchizedek. Let's see here now. Do I have my verse? Start in verse 18. Restart in verse 18. It says, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God." Notice, this is who Melchizedek served, the Most High God. And then it says, "And he blessed him," that is, Melchizedek blessed Abraham, "and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all." We have here Melchizedek worshiping God as the Most High God. And Abraham admits that this is correct. He admits that this is right. In verse 22, Abraham said unto the king of Sodom, "I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth." Now, you might have noticed there's a slight difference between his pronouncement and Melchizedek's. One little word there, Lord. Abraham calls God Jehovah or Yahweh, depending on how you pronounce it. He has declared him to be that as well as the Most High God. He is saying, no, Jehovah is the Most High God. But everything else that Melchizedek said about God was correct. Possessor of heaven of earth, the Most High God, the God of Abraham. That was all correct. This is a description of God as He is. He is the Most High God. The reason I wanted us to come to this passage is too often we think the people back in the past didn't know stuff. We think they didn't really know much back then and now we've come to know more. Whereas it's actually more of the opposite to that. They started out knowing a whole bunch and forgot a lot. And we may have rediscovered a few things, but they knew more back then. Here, Melchizedek knew God, and he was a high priest of God, showing us that it wasn't just Abraham who met God and now God is talking to mankind again. No, there has been some who worshiped God in truth from the very beginning. There have been some, and we know some of their names. We know Adam, and then we know that Seth also, Abel, though he didn't really have a continuing line after him, and so forth. We know that there were a number of people who worshiped God, particularly from that family, but others knew of the true God. And it was only that some, well, the majority of people, turned their hearts away from God that they did not worship the true God. Here we have Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God. He is blessing Abraham. And I want us to see that he is the king of Salem. He had named his city Peace. That's an interesting thing. He worships the Most High God and he names his city Peace. I think this tells us that he not only knew of God as the Creator, as we'll find out in just a moment, but he knew God as one who brought peace. One who would bring an end to wars. He knew a lot more about God than we give them credit for. Now, this is just a few verses. We have a snapshot of Melchizedek here. We don't have his whole life or his whole doctrinal statement. We don't know what kinds of scriptures he had or what kind of sacrifices he did. We don't know all the little details. But we know this, that he knew of God that peace was important. He knew of God that he was the Most High God. And he knew that God was possessor of heaven and earth. This is a very important distinction here in verse 19 where it says, God is the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Many false religions claim that God is in everything. A pantheistic sort of, what do they call that when spirits inhabit trees and stuff? I don't know. Anyways, God is in everything. But no, here it says God is possessor of everything. God can control things, not because he's just inside everything and everything's an expression of him, but rather because he is in charge. He is the one who is sovereign over all. He's the Most High. No one could reach to his power, strength, to his authority. None. None could reach to God's authority. He is the Most High. This also shows us that this king, who was also a priest, did not have an inflated view of himself. He didn't say, and I'm as important as God, I'm a god myself. How many pharaohs called themselves God? It was most of them. How many rulers who are over empires declared themselves to be God? Lots of them. Lots of them compared themselves to gods or made themselves equal with gods or said, we are gods, we're in charge. Here is a king who realizes that there is a Most High God and that's not himself. And there's a Most High God and he needs to be worshipped and served. That's why he was a priest of the Most High God. He served the Most High God. This is how we ought to see God. He is Most High. He is above everything. So this passage here in Genesis, it's not the first mention of the Most High, but I think it's pivotal because it shows us a lot more detail about who God is and how he is high and why we should see him as high and lifted up. Some people think that we shouldn't praise God, but I think that we should praise him all the time because he is worthy of it. He has done amazing things and he owns us all. He owns heaven, he owns earth, but he definitely owns us. And therefore we should worship Him continually without stop. I want us now to see another king who also recognized God is the Most High, and this is found in Daniel. And Daniel uses this phrase a lot. I think over 10 times Daniel uses the phrase, the Most High God. That's Ezekiel, Daniel. And we're going to go to chapter 4. And we'll read in verse 17. Daniel chapter 4, verse 17. This matter is the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it, that is, the kingdom of men, to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. Here we have Daniel declaring that God is the Most High, and that the kings and the emperors and everyone who has authority only has authority because of God, and it's not because they're the noblest, the best, the most righteous. No, here he says they are the basest of men. They're the lowliest, the least worthy men. Not that they're necessarily the worst of the worst, but rather that they are not earning this position from God because of their righteousness. No, God has placed whoever he will. That is quite an interesting thing, and I think it would really humble a lot of politicians if we let them know. Just so you know, God's put you here, and he put whosoever he wanted, and obviously he wanted you here, but he also recognizes that you're the basest of men. Maybe you should watch yourself. we probably should use this verse for that. Let them know. Yes, do you have a question? Yep. Yeah.
Who knows, maybe this here, because he's the head of gold, you Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah.
And so from there on, just is a falling process that gets lower and lower and lower. And in some way, he may be making a prophecy that he doesn't understand himself.
Yeah.
It's something to think about pretty fast.
Yeah, definitely. And that is a good point. I wasn't going to look too much at the statue and the interpretation of it, just because it takes a bit of time to go through properly. But we do see a lessening. The gold head was a lot more valuable in our own eyes, but also it had an exalted position in comparison with the ones that came later. And even as good as the Roman Empire was, it was never as powerful in its control over the people as Nebuchadnezzar's Babylonian Medo-Persian Empire. We have here Daniel giving this prophecy to Belteshazzar, and then we find that Belteshazzar, he doesn't accept all of this, but if we go to verse 24... we find that Daniel is pointing out that the interpretation the dream and everything comes from God. In verse 24, this is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. Now notice he lifts up the king and he calls him his lord, uncapitalized lord, not Jehovah here. Lord, Nebuchadnezzar or Belteshazzar here is the lord, a king, but the Most High is one to be praised and lifted up. The Most High is the one who is making a decree that cannot be changed. The Most High is the one who is giving the interpretation. So we see that God has authority over any and all powers and politicians in this world. He has more power than all of them. And when he makes a decree, it stands. When God says, this is how it's going to be, that's how it's going to be. Whereas this king, who had many nations under him and had conquered many people, he would have to abide by God's rule, whether he understood it or not. And then Daniel continues and he gives him this prophecy in verse 25. He says, they shall drive thee from men, thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whosoever he will. We won't continue on the prophecy here, but we have Daniel continuing to strike home that God is the Most High God, not just the Creator God, not merely God over that area or region of the world, not only a God who should be feared, but he is the Most High God. He is the one who is ordering everything. Another way of putting this is that God is sovereign in his authority. He is high and lifted up. We then have Nebuchadnezzar's fall in the next chapter, chapter 5, and we'll go to verse 21. We'll start in verse 20. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts. And his dwelling was with the wild asses, and they fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he, that is God, appointed over it whomsoever he will. God is God over everything, and Nebuchadnezzar had it prophesied to him in a dream, and then that dream was interpreted for him, even though Daniel was not told all the information, he was able to interpret the dreams, and here he gives Nebuchadnezzar that truth that God is king and God is over him. God is the Most High, the lifted up one. And Nebuchadnezzar instead was lifted up in pride. Nebuchadnezzar instead thought of himself as being in control because of his own strength and his own power. And so God humbled him so that he, that is Nebuchadnezzar, would learn that God was the Most High and that God ruled in the kingdom of men. This is a big lesson to learn. And this is one we need to learn. If we view God as the Most High in our life, that is, we're not looking to what a politician tells us is good and moral and right. We're not looking to what circumstance leads us to, but we're looking to please the Most High God. Then we are doing what is correct. But if we lift ourselves up and say, I will do I will do. This is my plan. This is where I'm going, what I'm going to do. We lift ourselves over God and He will humble us. And that is a scary thing. I mean, consider. Nebuchadnezzar went from ruling nations, commanding armies, and sitting in luxury of the golden head. Gold was the symbol of their empire because they had so much of it. He was fabulously wealthy, and then he was humbled to the point of eating grass. Now, I don't want to find any of you in your backyard eating the grass. I don't want to find any of you humbled to the point where you have to recognize God is most high. But God will do that if we do not give him the appropriate place in our life. He will humble us. He will bring us low. He will make us to be base, not just in our morals, but in all of our life, so that we will recognize him. We will recognize his authority over us. This is true not just for kingdoms, but for individuals. And notice how much care God put to reach Nebuchadnezzar's mind and heart. God gave him a dream, an interpretation, a prophecy. God gave him the desire to eat grass, changed his mind till he forgot he was a human. God then allowed him to live like that till he realized, woke up to himself, and realized there's a God in heaven. He's the Most High God. And then at that point, God restored him, not just to being a human walking around and eating actual food, but God restored him to some authority in his kingdom. If God took that much care for Nebuchadnezzar, is it too much to think he would take that much care in your life? If you have exalted yourself more than you ought in your own thinking, I've got my plan, I've got my idea, I'm doing what I want, then will not God come to you individually and try and change your mind? The answer is yes, he will. If you'll let him work in your heart, then hopefully you won't have to go to eating grass. But God wants you to recognize him as all in all, as the most important, as the highest. This is not the only times we have this phrase being used. It's used a huge amount through the book of Psalms, which is why we started in Psalm 91. But it's used all over throughout the book of Psalms. But there's a couple of them I want to point out. In Psalm 82, if you'll turn with me there. Psalm 82. We'll just read this whole chapter. It's only 8 verses. Psalm 82. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. Notice, God is not here saying there are gods, but he is judging among them. So even if you called out to gods, God is the one in charge or above anything that you could call a god. Whether it was demons or your own imaginations, God is more powerful, more mighty. Verse 2, how long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor, the fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are the children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. Now there's a few difficult parts in this chapter. There's no doubt about that. I do want to point out in verse 5 that we're not the first generation to say everything's so messed up in this world today. Notice he says, the foundations of the earth are out of course. It feels like the very ground under our feet is not steady with how quick things are changing and how good is turned to evil over and over and over again. So we're not the first generation to face that. That is a continual problem. I want us to see that we are the children of the Most High. We are the children of the Most High. Here, the psalmist is speaking specifically to the Jewish nation, the congregation. But we are also the children of the Most High. If He is our Father, if He has borne us to Himself through His Son, then we are His children. We should stand in judgment, defending the poor, the fatherless, delivering the needy, etc. But we cannot change things in this world. Notice at the end of this chapter, he doesn't say, and we will accomplish all of this. No. We are children of the Most High. We need to do as much as we can to overturn the injustices of this world, to judge correctly, to oppose wickedness in all levels, including high places. But we must rely upon God. His prayer there in verse 8 is truly our prayer. Arise, O God, and judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. God is God, not just of Israel, not just of the Christian. God is over the Most High. He is the one whom all people will have to stand before in judgment. We find in Revelation that there will be thrones of judgment that people will stand before. People will stand and have every action of their life, every word that they have spoken, every thought that they have thought, judged by God. This is not a small matter. If we have a correct view of God, we will see He is high and lifted up, and we must make our life to conform to what He desires. We must. I'll just read a few other psalms very briefly. There's so many of them. We have in Psalm 92, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Why are we singing praises unto his name? Because he is Most High. This isn't just saying, and we're praising God, and then the title I'm giving him this time is Most High, but rather he already is the one in charge, the one who possesses all the earth, so let us praise him because of that. In Psalm 107, verse 11, we find that the people rebelled against the words of God and contemned, that is, they despised the counsel of the Most High. We learn of God that he is possessor of the whole earth and he has a design for it. But as people, we can either walk in line with him or we can oppose him, we can rebel against him. And mankind's history is full of going against God, the Most High. There's one last verse we're going to look at. If you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 16. This is not the most common phrase in the New Testament. It's only mentioned four times. Acts chapter 16. (Clears throat) But lest you think God of the Old Testament is not the God of the New Testament, here we have the same attribution, God above all, God above everything, being given here in Acts chapter 16, and we'll read in verse 17. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" I'm in the wrong chapter. That's 17. Let's try 16, verse 17. There we go. That is not right. Okay. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." The demon-possessed woman who gave prophecies that came true, she recognized that the God that Paul and Barnabas served was the Most High God. That was her description, the Most High God. We serve the Most High God if we know Jesus as Savior and if we give His message. We are servants of the Most High God. This means we have an authority that comes from above anything that anyone else has. We have specific direction from the Most High God to go and to do as we have been told, to make disciples and to baptize them. We have a commission from the most powerful, most in charge being in the that can even be imagined. And He is the one who causes us to show the way of salvation. This is a high calling indeed, to give others the message of deliverance. This is our God. He is the Most High. And so I hope this morning we are encouraged and challenged to not just sing praises, but also to change our life, that we would always be looking for what He wants us to do, not putting our own will above God, because God is the Most High. And rightly, all of us should be eating grass in comparison to Him. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank You that You are the Most High. We thank You that there is much that we can do in service to You, but Lord, we recognize that the most important thing is that we allow You to direct us. Father, it is not the might of our hand or the might of our reasoning, but it is our obedience to You that You judge. And Lord, just as Nebuchadnezzar, who lifted up himself in pride, and You humbled him. And just as the king of Salem, who cried out to You that You were the Most High God, possessor of all heaven and earth, God, we cry out to You and say, we now see You are truly the Most High God. You are truly the one before whom we will stand judged. And we ask, Lord, that You would give us the wisdom to walk according to Your designs, and that we would not walk in pride. In Jesus' precious name, amen.